did that. You said the prayer. And she's trying to put it together. It's like, it can't be that easy. And it's like, yeah, it was that easy. And also in the Brampton session, one of the Brampton cell leaders, a guy that would be, he'd be probably close to retirement age, and he has been allergic to gluten for 17 years, he was saying. And at our Good Friday service that we had at the Mississauga campus two Fridays ago, it was like at the end of the meeting, it was like a cake, dessert, pie buffet. Like they have a bakery that gives them leftovers, and I guess they didn't sell a lot on the weekend. And it was just like tables. So like every single person could take a whole cake or pie home. But most people were like taking samples of 15 different ones, and just plates were piled high. And this guy's standing there, and he's the only one not eating. And Faustin from our Mississauga campus goes over to him and says, like, are you not hungry? And he goes, well, I'm allergic to everything that's in here. And so Faustin prayed for him, and he wasn't sure if anything happened. But the next day, he decided that he would go to Tim Hortons, and he would get an apple fritter, which is as sugary as they come, isn't it? And he was absolutely fine. And he was sharing on yesterday that he's been healed. He's eating all the desserts, and so he had a big slice of pie at lunch. So that was pretty cool. And then last night at the Hamilton meeting, we were praying for people and had some really good miracles. And Aaron, who's one of my, or not my, our interns at the airport campus, is going to give us a little update, and then we're going to pray for those of you that maybe have pain or sickness.
Yeah, so, oh, this is really loud. At the Hamilton meeting last night, I think there was like a bunch of healings, but I know specifically the two ladies that I prayed for both had carpal tunnel, and they both were healed instantly. So that was really cool. There was a bunch of back problems that got healed. There was one lady with cancer who we don't know, but I'm pretty sure she got something. So what we're asking right now is if you have any pain in your body, we're pretty sure the anointing is still fresh because it was just last night. So if you have pain in your body, let's have you stand up. Okay, and people who are sitting, let's find someone to pray for. Cool. All right. If you don't have someone, could you raise your hand so that people can find you? So if you haven't found someone, let's gather around these people. Let's pray for them. So Father, right now we just say that pain was not meant to be in our bodies. That is not how we were made. And would you just restore us to our right and working condition? Would you just restore us to perfection? Yeah, just come and bring your presence over everyone in this room right now, those who have pain and those who don't have pain. Would you just restore us? Yeah, just come and restore us to the way we were made. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's see how you're doing. Check yourselves. All right, let's keep praying for her. Let's get the rest. How's everyone else doing? Is anyone like 50% healed? 50% or more? Anyone 50% or more? How about 50% or less? All right. Yeah, Father, just come. Backs will be straightened and healed. Would you make wrists right? Just take all the pain away. Yeah, would you just restore us? Yeah. Yeah, just restore us so we can just do everything we were made to do. Yeah, Father, just come. Bring your Holy Spirit on all of us. Just come. Yeah, come. All right, check yourselves again. Try and do something that would have hurt you before. Let's see how it feels. Sweet.
No problem. I love when God shows up. It's like when we pray for healing, that's one of the tangible things, isn't it, is to see if God actually does something. I was telling Steve over here that, because he's got his dog there, and I was telling him the last time that I was at a church that had a dog was 2 years ago in Newcastle, England. It was a Pentecostal church, and we prayed for the people, and there's maybe 150 people in the meeting, and we said, if you're feeling a little bit better, come on up to the front and just tell people real quick. And so the third guy in is this guy with a St. Bernard, not St. Bernard, German Shepherd dog. They're different, aren't they? A German Shepherd dog, and he's got dark sunglasses, and so it's pretty obvious that he's blind. And he's saying, well, they prayed for my shoulder. My shoulder's better. And I'm a little goofy, and it's like, did anyone pray for your eyesight? And he goes, no. And I said, can you tell me how bad your eyes are? And he said, I'm 99.9% blind. Long story short, within 5 minutes, his dog is unemployed. He was reading a book within 5 minutes. It was, like, shocking. And then the most shocking part was, like, now we're everyone's getting prayed, and it's just like one of those bedlam meetings where bodies are all over the floor. It's a traditional church with pews, and probably 15 pews back. And so he's way at the back over here praying for people, and I said, and he's got his sunglasses off, and his dog's with him everywhere he goes. And I said, I think his name was Brian. Brian, I just need to know one more time, like, are you really, really healed or not? And he goes, yeah, I am. And it's like, well, here's what. Tell your dog to stay, and you come up to the front here. Because there's bodies all through the aisle. And he's going like this. He's going, stay, stay, stay. And he's maneuvering himself all around these people up to the front. And the dog is going crazy. The dog just has not seen this and doesn't know what to do. And the dog's like, like it was just, his body was shaking. And he finally went like this. He just snapped his finger, and the dog ran up the aisle and just pounced on him. And it was like everyone's crying again. It was like, oh, my goodness. So we said, like, what happens to the dog? And he goes, well, it has to stay with him. It stays with him for life. So now it's a pet rather than working. So the dog's unemployed. So anyways, that was cool. And then I was telling Steve, the very next night I was in Liverpool in Bootle. Kevin, that's a good name, isn't it? Bootle. It's a really partly the rough area of Liverpool, or one of the rough areas. And a lady comes in. She's probably about 30 years of age. She's got a cane and has no eyeballs, like just empty sockets. And it's like, well, let's give it a go. So we prayed for her, and nothing happened. And I just had a couple of the girls keep praying for her that were on the prayer ministry team that knew her. At the end of the meeting, which is like 45 minutes later, we checked, and she has white eyeballs with no pupil. It's just all white. And it was like really eerie to look at her. It was like X-Men kind of thing. But it was really eerie to look at her, and yet it's like, how did these things show up? So she's still blind. I saw her pastor in January. She's still blind, but she's got white eyeballs now. So she's at least halfway there. So anyways, so today we're going to talk real quick because I've cut into my time already, and we're going to talk about being led by the Holy Spirit and really looking at how God communicates to you and I. And so we're going to go real quick if that's all right. And in terms of how God talks to us, God loves to communicate to us in lots and lots of different ways. And all the way through the Bible, God talked to people. And he talked in like so many different ways. And for example, there's visions, voices, thoughts, pictures, smells, touch, all sorts of different things that God talks to us and he communicates to us in these different ways. And it's like there's nothing that has been invented in Hollywood in terms of the supernatural that God doesn't already have. And when you look in the scripture, you see it, that it's there in terms of how God connects. I find there's some interesting passage about being led by the Spirit. And in Acts chapter 16, we have this story of Paul on his missionary journey, and he's wanting to go from modern-day Turkey north into Eastern Europe. And the Bible says this, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been, look at this, kept by the Spirit from preaching the word of God in the province of Asia. So they were planning to go north into another country, and they couldn't. And it doesn't say what happened. It just says the Holy Spirit kept them from going that way. And you need to know, there's no buses in those days. There's no trains. It's no airplanes. It's like walk or a fast mule. Like those are your options. And so we're talking about months for him to move around then to go to try to find a different entry point. It says when they came to the border of Mysia, another way to get into the nation, it says they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, would not allow them. And it's like twice God stopped them, and it doesn't say exactly how, but whether it's their passport had expired, the ferry wasn't running that day, I don't know what was happening, but they couldn't go where they wanted to go. And that night, Paul has a vision, a dream, of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God's called us to go there. And so guess where they go? They take a ship across the Aegean Sea, and they go to Macedonia. And churches start in Corinth and in places like that, in that area of the world. And it was like, I find these verses fascinating, that God is communicating to Paul and saying, no, 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 but yes, yes, yes. And here's the key, friends. If God does that for people in the Bible, that's what he does for us as well. And sometimes it's frustrating because we don't know why we're not able to move forward, and it seems like the doors are closed. And we're going, yeah, but I want to go. And sometimes we don't know what the reasons are why we're not allowed to go. In this, I'm going to skip this one just because of time. And we'll start in. We'll skip that one because of time. We'll go right to here. We'll talk about Jesus. So Jesus, just to remind you, did not do any miracles because he was the divine Son of God. Is that a little surprising to you? No miracles happened because Jesus was the divine Son of God. No healings happened because Jesus is the divine Son of God. The Bible's very, very clear. Every miracle that happened is because Jesus, in his humanity, was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how they happened. He was anointed. If you're God, do you need to be anointed? Or are you already full of every power that there is? So why did Jesus have to be anointed? It's because he was functioning as a human being. And so when we understand that and sort of get that in our brain, because I don't know about you, but I always thought that Jesus did everything as God. And if Jesus did everything as God, I got no chance. But if Jesus did everything as a human being full of the Holy Spirit, now I got a chance now. I just have to get full of the Holy Spirit. Yes? So Jesus clearly tells people three different ways that God communicated to him in terms of helping him to know what to do and how to do it. And the first one is Jesus said he only did what he saw. And in John chapter 5, verse 17, we have this verse. It says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do what? Nothing. That's very interesting of Jesus, isn't it? And seven times in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I can do nothing. Can't do anything. If the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, no miracles, no great sermon, no healings, nothing. But I can only do what I see my Father doing. Now, here's the story for this one. In John chapter 5, verse 1, Jesus is in Jerusalem, and he's walking in a part of the ancient city, and there were seven pools, and the theory was, not the theory, the tradition was that angels would come and stir up the waters. Remember that story? And as he's walking by, he walks into the pool, and he looks around, the Bible says, and he finds one guy who's sitting away from the pool, and he goes over to him and says, sir, do you want to be well? And the guy says, yes. My problem is I'm lame, and I can't get into the water. And I think the reason why Jesus is asking him that question, because it says that Jesus had heard about his situation. If you're lame, surely you're sitting with two legs already in the pool, ready just to tip forward. Right? Rather than have to get your wheelchair, have to get your crutches or whatever you're having to do to get into the water, you would think that if you're desperate for your healing, you'd be right by the pool, ready. And he's going, every time other people get in before me, and it's just, you know. And so Jesus heals the guy, like bang, just right there. And he tells the man, pick up your mat and go home. Yes? The guy gets stopped by the temple police. And the temple police say, you're breaking the Sabbath. You are carrying a mat, which is considered work. Why are you doing that? And the guy's excuse was, well, the man who healed me told me to do that. Who healed you? Come to think of it, I never did get a look at the guy, is what the Bible says. He didn't know that it was Jesus. Well, the temple police put two and two together because they know Jesus is right around the corner, and they went over to Jesus, and they said this, you know what? There are six really good days of the week for doing healing. Stop doing it on Saturdays. And do you know what Jesus said? Right here. It was there. Are we there? There we are. This was his excuse. He goes, my father showed me this. So here's the possibility. You have a couple different things. Did Jesus have a dream? And he saw this guy in the pool area. And the next time he's in that part of Jerusalem, he goes, hey, guys, you know what? We just need to stop in here. And I need to see if there's the guy from my dream. And he goes in and he looks around and goes, there he is. Tell me about that guy. Well, he's lame. How long has he been here? 40 years or whatever it was. And Jesus ministers to the guy. That's one possibility. He had a dream. He saw it. Another one is that as he's walking by, he just gets a flash. Pshh, sees the guy by the pool and he goes, the pool's right over here. However it was, Jesus knew who to heal based on something that he saw. This is one of the primary ways that God communicates to us is by things our eyes see. My wife Sandra occasionally, not too often, but occasionally when she's praying for someone, and this is how my wife's discernment is, she'll be trying to think, what is the root cause? And she'll see on someone's forehead their issue, rejection, envy. One lady, she saw the word adultery. And so when she's praying, she's going like, do you need to tell me? Is there another guy in your life? And it's like, how did you know that? And it's like, well, you know, it's on your forehead. That was pretty easy. There's a famous story of John Wimber, who is the founder of the Vineyard Churches, of which that was the heritage that we come from. And he was on, this is a long time ago, and he was on a 747 jumbo plane where they have the first class and the bubble up top. And he's sitting on an aisle, and about an hour into the flight or so, he looks over, and there's a guy on the other aisle, and he just sort of looks at him, and the guy looks back, and he sees a name on the guy's forehead. And he leans across, and he goes, who's Nancy? The guy goes, shh, because there's a lady sitting beside him. And he goes, psh, psh, you know, and they go down to the bar, and the guy says to John Wimber, what do you know about Nancy? And John says, well, who's Nancy? Is that the lady beside you? That's my wife. It's his wife beside him. Well, who's Nancy? Well, I'm having an affair. How do you know about Nancy? He goes, well, God wants you to get right with him. And, you know, he told him about it, and the guy freaked out. He got saved right there. Then the guy went and got his wife to explain and to repent, and she got saved on the airplane. Isn't that cool? I love that kind of stuff. Okay, where do we go again? Here we are. I'm here. It's searching. Here we are. So the second thing that is talked about in the scriptures is that Jesus only did what he heard. And so the debate continues in the rest of this chapter, and the Pharisees are really upset with Jesus using the word father and all this kind of stuff, and they keep pushing him, why do you do miracles and all this kind of stuff? And then he comes back to his second reason, and he says, by myself I can do nothing again. Remember, we're talking about what the Holy Spirit helps us with. I judge only as I hear, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. And there's two or three passages where Jesus says, I only do what my Father tells me. And hearing is one of these amazing things where you can hear an audible voice, you can hear an inner voice, it's a thought, it's a word, but somehow our ears are connected to God. And we've heard a voice. Jay was referring to that about investing in the anointing. And the long story short of this one is for about 3 or 4 months, Sandra and I, John and Carol, Jeremy and Connie, were praying about whether to invite John and Patricia Bootsma, who used to be pastors at our church and had gone to Stratford. We'd been praying about whether to bring them back or not. They were ready. They were feeling their time was up in Stratford, and they'd had dreams that they were to come back to the airport church, and we're praying about this, and everything was fitting. They wanted to come. We'd love to have them. All that kind of stuff. The only problem is I didn't want to rely on the Bootsmans having a dream to say, we had a dream saying we're supposed to come. I wanted to have a dream, or Sandra, or Jeremy and Connie, or John and Carol. Someone, one of us has to hear a God thing and not just all the jigsaw puzzles fitting. That's sort of how we function, is we try to be led by the Spirit. We try to hear the voice of God for making decisions in our church. We try. And one of our pastor's meetings, we have, this would be February, March, and we just finished our prayer time because we were praying about the finances of our church. And it was a little discouraging because it's like the green part of our roof is $500,000 to repair. The phone system had just died, like just crashed, and there's a new phone system. And Mike, how much is that? 25, 30,000? 15? Anyways, we just went through a litany of like 15 different things. Our data program, we have to be replaced. And it was just when we added everything up, it was like $1 million of things we need to do. And it was like, oh. And so we're praying about that. And as we're leaving, a little, you know, trying to be buoy ourselves up and okay, God's good and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's still going, $1 million. As we're leaving, the speaker's room, and I don't know if you've been in the airport building, but right where the stairs are that take you upstairs, as we're walking up with Connie and Jeremy, I hear clearly the Holy Spirit say to me, invest in the anointing. And I knew exactly what he was saying. It was like, forget about buying all these different things. You need to do those, but invest in people. Invest in anointed people. And it was like, I just turned to Connie and Jeremy and Sandra, go, I just turned to the Lord. We're to hire the Bootsmans. And they go, woohoo, okay, next. I need to fix this. The problem, the Prezi that I'm using is an internet-based thing, and so my sleeper keeps going to sleep on my computer, my screensaver, and I haven't figured out how to take it off because it says I'm taken off, but it's not taken off. Okay, the last one, and I misspelled this. This should not be Jesus did what he heard because we just talked about that one. This is Jesus only did what he was taught. And the scripture verse is this, I do nothing on my own. See the word nothing again? I do nothing on my own, but speak what the Father has taught me. And this one, like my wife is very good at just knowing things with no reason to back it up. She just knows. And Jesus was like that. He knew the hearts of people. He knew the thoughts of people. And if you said, like, how did you know that? He would probably go, I just knew. And it was one of the clear ways that God communicated to Jesus and helping him to be at the right place at the right time, to do the right thing at the right time. And I find it very frustrating because I really like facts. I like to look at charts. I like to see numbers. I like to see all the ducks in a row, as it were. And let's say Sandra and I are trying to do some planning or whatever, and we're like, well, let's do this. And she's going, no, let's not do that. And it's like, well, why not? Well, we're not supposed to. What do you mean we're not supposed to? Well, we're not supposed to. Like, did God talk to you? Do you get a dream? No. Do you get a word? No. So we can do it. No, we can't do it. And it's like, there's no rhyme or reason. You just know, don't you? And a whole bunch of you are in that situation where you just know stuff. God just gives you an early warning signal. One of my acquaintances, one of the guys who's helped mentor me, is a gentleman that would be probably about 80 years of age now. And his name is Philip Phillips, and he is originally from India, and he became the chaplain early on in like the 60s when the Pearson Airport first opened, and it went from just a small little regional airport to become Toronto International before it became Pearson, and he was the chaplain there. He was the very first chaplain ever in an airport in Canada, an employee of the federal government, and he, as the years went by, became the head chaplain for all of the airports in Canada. And he was based at Terminal 1. And one day, a few years ago, he was getting ready to fly back to India with his family, and they're in the airport, they've already checked in, and he gets a thought, don't get on the airplane. So what do? Already paid, and once you checked in, you're not getting your money back. And he was so convinced that he'd heard God that he didn't get on the airplane. That airplane was the Air India one that was bombed over Lockerbie, Scotland. Was he glad that he had a hunch? And it was like, oh my goodness. When I heard that, it was like, that's unbelievable. I'll tell you one better. at the airport campus is a couple, Mike's in their cell group, Garth and Mary Jessley. And Garth Jessley is a business guy on Bay Street. He is the president and CEO of a big investment corporation. And he and his wife have signed up to go to our India trip at the end of 2008. And we had like 140 people on that trip, and like 40 of them are from our Catch the Fire churches. And it's a big group, and Garth and Mary love going on missions trips, and they love going to India. They've been there many times. And the only problem is that they're going to have to leave India like on the Wednesday, because on the Friday, there's one of his colleagues, his daughter, is getting married in London, England. And so they're going to have to leave, and because they have to leave early, what they decided to do was to go to India 3 or 4 days before the school started and to go to their favorite hotel. And because they're fairly, you know, they got some money. Garth used to be, he was the youngest guy to make vice president at Citibank, New York City. He was a vice president with Citibank when he was 30. So, like, he's done well. And so the hotel that they stay at in India, in Mumbai, is the Taj Mahal Palace. And about a month before everyone's to go, she tells her husband one day, "The Lord spoke to me today, and we're not supposed to go on the India trip." And he's going, no, we're absolutely going, we're scheduled to teach, you're going to be teaching, I'm going to be teaching, we're going to be there. And she's going, "Well, I just felt the Holy Spirit say we're not supposed to go." And he decided, "I'm going to pray to God and just prove my wife wrong. I'm going to pray and hear a yes, and we're going to go." And he prays, and he hears a no as well. And he phoned Faustin, who was organizing that trip, and said, "I don't know why, we just don't know, but we just feel the Holy Spirit say, don't go." Well, guess what happened? 3 days before our school happened, the terrorist attack in Mumbai was right at that hotel, right where they would be if they'd gone. And a little thought, an impression, saved their lives. When they shared that at our church, like when we came back, and then they tell that to our church, it's like, "Oh my goodness, I had no idea you were planning to stay at that hotel." I love that kind of stuff. That's how great our daddy is in heaven, is that he loves to communicate to us. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to pray for you in those three different categories. So if you're good at seeing in the spirit, if that's one of the ways that God communicates to you, dreams, visions, you can see pictures, we'll get you to stand. If you're good at hearing, we'll get you to stand. If you're good at just knowing, we'll get you to stand. And you can stand for more than one. That'd be all right? Now, if everyone stands for everything, we don't have people to pray. But you're allowed to stand for everything. So let's start with those of you that see in the spirit. God communicates to you through visions, through dreams, that kind of stuff. Stand up. Okay, those of you seated, which is about half, those of you seated, can I get you to put your hand on two people? So if you're seated, just stand up and find someone that's around you. Put your hand up if no one's come to you. No one's come to you? Okay, we got lots of people that no one's come to. So you know what? There's more people standing than there are sitting, so if no one's come to you, just put your hand over top of your own eyes. Let's bless our friends right now. Father, we're asking. First of all, I just want to say you're not crazy to have dreams and visions. 1/3 of the prophets in the Old Testament were seers, like Ezekiel. I see this valley of dry bones. I see this wheel within a wheel. And that's the way God communicated. 1/3 of the prophets were hearers. The word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord came to me. And 1/3 of the prophets function in both of those. So, Father, we thank you that this is a legitimate way in which you communicate warnings, suggestions, destiny, encouragement, ministry opportunities. This is how you minister to us. This is how you let us know what's up, what we need to know. And, Father, we're asking that you would help our eyes to see clearer with more depth, with more definition. We bless your eyesight to go to HD quality, as it were. And may your spirit know what God's showing you. May your knower know what it is that God's trying to communicate to you. Because I know sometimes when people get dreams, sometimes it's really confusing. Like, what was the message in here? And we bless your spirit to know what your daddy has just said to you. And so, Father, we bless their eyes. And, Father, I'm asking that you cleanse their eyes as well, because sometimes, for those of you that are seers, you also see a lot of the demonic stuff, and sometimes people get a little frightened and just sort of feel, you know, it'd be better if I just shut this off. And, Father, we just say, may they not be intimidated by the enemy. And cleanse their eyes if they've sort of given up and said, I don't want to see these kind of things anymore. We're asking, Father, that you would communicate truth to these men and women that are standing. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, except if you're a hearer. So this is Steve Long. I'm primarily a hearer. I get little thoughts. Words come into my brain. Who's standing? Good? Okay. Let's go and lay hands on the ears of our friends that are standing. Put your hand up if you're a hearer. Okay. Look around. Get out of your chair. Move. Find someone. If they've got their hand up, go and put your hand on their ears. We have a gentleman back over here that needs someone. Everyone covered? So just put your hand right over their ears if you're close enough to them. Father, we bless their ears as well. And do you remember what Jesus said? Who has eyes to see? Who has ears to hear? And he's just giving us, Jesus is telling us, this is how my daddy talks to me. Get ready to receive that same kind of stuff. And so for those of you that hear voices, like, it sounds like an inner audible voice, as it were, like your head is hearing out loud. Father, we bless you and we say, you're not crazy either. You're wired to communicate to God that way. He set you up to hear him. And we bless you not to miss, because sometimes the voice of the Lord is really quiet and still. It's not loud. Do you remember Elijah, when he's running from Jezebel and there's all the theatrical Hollywood stuff of hurricanes and earthquakes and firestorms, and in the middle of that it was just a little whisper, and it was almost like if he wasn't concentrating he would have missed it. And we bless you not to miss when your Father speaks to you. And we bless you not to be intimidated by Satan, who tries to steal the word of the Lord right away. Because a lot of times as you hear a thought, and then your second thought is, well, that doesn't make sense. And anytime you get a, that doesn't make sense, or I don't think I should, that is your confirmation. If Satan says no, the answer is yes. If you have a thought and then a doubt, the doubt is from the enemy. And take that as your confirmation, as your second opinion. And so, Father, bless them. Again, to have definition, Dolby sound. That every word from the Lord, from your Father, would be captured to you. And again, may you know exactly what the Father's communicating to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. You may be seated. Those of you that just know, your knower knows, stand up. You have a knower. Look at all the knowers. That's pretty cool. Okay, those of you seated, can I get you to go to one of these people that is standing? And I think your knower is behind your belly button. Like your spirit, all of your wiring is right in the middle of you. And so I don't know for sure that that's where your knower is. It's not in your brain. Your brain is different. We're talking about your spirit just knows. So I don't know if that's true or not. So put your hand on your own tummy, and if someone else is close by you, put your hand on their hand. So, Father, would you come for these men, these ladies, and Daddy, we're asking that when they just know something, when there's revelation that comes, that they be able to receive it and not have to worry about how to explain it to someone else or how they got it or why they knew. But, Father, may they just know that you have communicated, and this is one of the ways that you love us, is giving us inside information. You warn us. You give us hints. You're able to help us in our workplace, in our relationships. You're able to help us in every aspect of life. Father, thank you that In big decisions, we can always rely on you. And the scriptures are very encouraging. They say that we can be led by the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and to lead us. And Father, thank you that people like Garth and Mary from our airport campus have learned this lesson. They're with us today because they listened to a knower. My friend Philip Phillips is still alive because he listened to the voice of the Lord. And it may never be that traumatic for us. It may be just a simple thing. But Father, we thank you that you speak to us, and we bless you. And for all of you that have been told off by friends, by parents, by spouses, by teachers, and just said you're crazy, how can you know that? You're just making it up. This is excuses. You're stupid. You're crazy. We just wash all that slime off of you right now and just say, no, you're not crazy. You're wired just like Jesus was. And there's story after story of Jesus just knowing things. Like, I was shocked when I started looking at it in the scriptures, how many stories there were that Jesus just knew something. He knew their hearts. He knew their words, their thoughts. He knew their intentions. And so, Father, this is a legitimate gift. And we bless those that are functioning this way. And we say, you're not crazy at all. You're ahead of the game. You have inside information. And it's because your Father loves you. So, Father, would you fill us again with more of your love right now? How about everyone stand right now? The key thing that I pointed out at the very beginning that maybe you missed is that God communicates to people who are anointed, who are full of the Holy Spirit. So if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you can be led by the Spirit. Does that make sense? That was my little point that I didn't push at the beginning because I wanted to push it at the end. And so one of the things that's important for us is to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because it would seem like the more of the Holy Spirit we have, the more accurate we can hear from our Father. And Jesus, it would appear, heard perfectly because he never sinned. He was never quenching the Spirit. He was always in step with the Spirit, wasn't he? So Father, would you come and fill us right now? So just take a big drink of the Holy Spirit. During the worship time, it was just like wonderful, just like in the Dance With Me song, just to receive the Holy Spirit again. And Daddy, would you come again now, please? Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Now just feel His presence. Some of you may feel like your body tingling. Some of you may feel like there's emotions that are stirring, of feeling maybe to cry or like someone's hugging you. Some of your body temperature may be getting hotter or getting colder. Just feeling peaceful. Those are all little ways in which God like taps us on the shoulder and says, I'm with you right now. So Holy Spirit, come. Fill all of us again today. Pour out your Spirit, Father. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Welcome you. Now, if you're close to someone, just put your hand on their shoulder. Now, don't think about giving away. Think about receiving. It's easy to give away. Just take a drink of the Holy Spirit. Come, Daddy. More. More. Increase, Daddy. Is Jesus. And why did Jesus need to be communicated to? So that he could do the Father's will. He could do what his Father wanted him to do. And so, Daddy, that's what we're saying to you today. Would you use us to do what you'd like us to do for you, for others, for ourselves? And we put our lives back into your hands again today. That's one of the reasons why we come to church every Sunday. It's like a statement to ourselves and to others to say, we're we're trusting in you again. We're trusting in you again. We're trusting in you again. So, Father, be with us. Protect us. May your hand be on our lives. Keep us from danger. Keep us from evil people, evil intentions. Would you hide us away, Father? And at the times when you want us to step up and to go to people and say, excuse me, do you have pain in your body? Or to go to someone and say, I think the Holy Spirit gave me a word for you. Father, give us boldness. Because remember, the Bible says not just to be a hearer, but to be a doer.